Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes.
Welcome everyone to 10 Bestest. I'm Karen McFarlane Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And I get to go first on this episode. And I am going to start out with a way that you can continue lifelong learning. And this is a website, and I would say a movement, that's called Creative Mornings. So this is something that was started in 2008 by Tina Roth Eisenberg. Living in New York, she wanted to start an ongoing and accessible event for New York's creative community. And she called it TED for the Rest of Us, meaning that it would be free and open to anyone. Her concept was that there would be breakfast and there would be a short talk that would be one Friday morning a month. So what has happened since then, because now we're 12 years later, that attendees gather in cities around the world. So this has really spread everywhere. And before the pandemic, people would gather together. And once again, it's this idea of fresh coffee, friendly people, and there would be some breakfast foods and all of these things with local chapters around the world with creative talent and talks and all sorts of great stuff happening. What has also happened is that these talks have gone online, which has really been wonderful during this time when everything needs to be virtual. And so here is a way that you can continue seeing these talks and joining people together and keeping it rolling. In terms of the Manifesto of Creative Mornings, they say that everyone is creative. And so they are trying to keep this idea going that creative life requires bravery and action, honesty and hard work, and that they exist to support all of us and to celebrate all of us in everything that we do. So they've also started something called the Creative Guild. That is something where you can join in. It's a membership-based online network for creative companies and individuals. So just a lot of great stuff is happening with Creative Mornings.
Oh man, this is really cool. I love everything that Tina does. She's so talented.
Oh, that's great. So you know this well, it sounds like.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of her. She has a newsletter. so the Creative Mornings mm-hmm. has a newsletter. I forget what it's called, but it comes out every Thursday. And I get so many cool sheets from that, actually. So it's so great. And then she has the Swiss Miss website and also has a daily, not quite daily, but a multiple times a week newsletter as well. She has Tatly, which I don't know if I have talked about or I will be a cool sheet here pretty soon. Everything she does is so great. And I just love everything about not only the stuff she does, but what you talked about specifically.
That's awesome.
Today. Yeah.
Well, my cool sheet just got a bonus edition by you. Thank you for that.
Splashed in there. Yeah, very, very cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right, my first cool sheet is going to be a podcast. And this podcast is, to me, one of the most important podcasts going right now. It's called Rabbit Hole. So it is by the New York Times, and I listened to it first because I listened to the Daily Podcast, which is a Monday through Friday, a news podcast just of what's kind of going on in the United States right now, sometimes the whole world. And then this podcast is a little more specific. So there's only 8 episodes at time of recording. And they did a first series. They did some rapid fire ones where they told, I think it was 3 episodes where they told this story of Caleb. And the first 3 episodes talk about how he was this introvert and he didn't have a whole lot of friends. And he kind of took to gaming and going online onto YouTube. And the algorithm of YouTube and suggested things and got more and more down the rabbit hole, as the podcast says. But also, I've done it a million times where you just start, all of a sudden you've spent 2 hours on YouTube. But it completely changed his worldview. He got more and more kind of on the hardcore right realm of control. conspiracy theories and politics and things like that, and how it changed his entire view and life. And then he actually kind of bounced back and went all the way to the other side, to the left. But it just talks about how YouTube does this, what it's doing to us. And then the episodes after those first three, it talks about PewDiePie. If you don't know him, that's a whole nother monster. He's done some really funny things and some really horrible things. They have an interview with him. Then they talk about 4chan and QAnon and Q and things like that. So important in the time right now that we're living in. Check out Rabbit Hole.
Wow, I have not heard about this at all.
Oh my gosh, it's there's not a ton of episodes, so you're not far behind right now. There's only eight, and they've become much less frequent. So I think now they're maybe only doing one a month or so.
Okay.
But that's great because it's a lot to digest, and I should probably listen to all eight again. It's some of the best podcasts. Just, it talks about so many things that are relevant to the world right now, and how these mediums are kind of manipulating our behavior and driving us further apart.
Oh my gosh,
and all these things that we already know, but just it arms you with how they're doing this, and hopefully will help you a little bit.
Wow, that's great. All right. Okay, my next cool sheet. I have a series of articles. I want to call them living documents, but I honestly don't know if they're going to keep going or not yet. But part one, this came out April 14th, and the name of this article was Prepare for the Ultimate Gaslighting. And this is written, all three of these are written by Julio Vincent Gambuto. He's also a filmmaker and just really great person, probably a whole cool sheet himself. But this article was, first article was so fascinating because at that point, so we're looking at April 14th, we're in the midst of the depths of the stronghold of the pandemic. And it was a warning. So this article was all a warning about, here we are now, but the opening is coming, it's looming, and to be careful. He said what's going to happen, he predicted, was that the media was going to do everything that they could to make us essentially forget about the pandemic and to start buying stuff, to be consumers and to essentially placate ourselves with purchasing things. Okay, so then fast forward a couple weeks to May 1st, and part two came out. And the title of that article was The Gaslighting Has Begun, Resist. And so that's where he actually, not just giving a prediction, but he gives solutions. He's saying, okay, this is what you can do to resist, which I think is awesome. He took it in that direction. And then part three was released June 3rd, and that's when he made a bigger assessment. He actually went back in history and evaluated, analyzed this story of what's happening now. And I love these three articles. Maybe there will be more, maybe not. Even these three are magnificent. Highly, highly recommend that you read them. Prepare for the Ultimate Gaslighting.
Yes, I've read the first one, so I need to read the rest of them.
Oh, definitely.
And just for people out there that might not know what gaslighting, because that's kind of a term that's unfamiliar, do you have a definition off the top of your head?
Yes, yes. So gaslighting, that is essentially where someone, you say something happened, and they essentially respond to you to make you second guess that maybe it didn't happen. And that's especially, it's people are susceptible to it who maybe aren't super confident. And maybe the person that's talking to them, they kind of look up to them. Mm-hmm. And it's really awful when it happens to someone where maybe they were abused and the abuser is doing this to them to make them believe it didn't actually happen. Yeah. So that's one of the worst ways gaslighting can happen, but it can happen in many other subtle ways as well.
Yeah, so definitely worth informing yourself about.
Yes.
Sure. Well, great. Well, my next cool sheet has a little bit to do with that kind of theme, and same thing with Rabbit Hole and then your cool sheet. And this is called it's a PDF. I'm going to call it a book for organizational purposes, but it's really a PDF that you can download for free. And we'll have a link on our website. And it is called The Conspiracy Theory Handbook. And again, this has kind of come up for me because of the pandemic, but it's really a tool that you can use and should know about For all times. And it is by the University of Bristol, the University of Western Australia, George Mason University, and the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization. So very well researched and documented. This isn't just somebody that wrote it, an opinion piece or a letter to the editor. This is a lot of work has gone into this. And it talks about what conspiracies are. And, you know, there are a lot of conspiracies that are 100% true. Watergate, things that happened in that. Volkswagen hid its emission tests and said that things were, it was not that bad and it was really bad. It was a big cover up. People used to think the cigarettes were good for you. And they said that doctors would say, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors say that Camel cigarettes are the best or whatever they were. You know, this is obviously, there are a lot of garbage out there, but there are also conspiracies that are very harmful. Some people don't think that global warming exists. This is a conspiracy theory. There's vaccination. There's all kinds of other things. And we just need to prepare ourselves to know how these come up and how to separate the accurate ones from the false ones. And this has a lot of tools. It talks about conventional thinking versus conspiratorial thinking. It talks about the mindset of people that believe these. And it kind of goes with gaslighting. Maybe you're intimidated. You're scared. You know, you're in a position where you feel like you don't have any power or any knowledge. And then so you kind of can adopt these conspiracy theories, which can actually damage you or the people around you even more. Definitely worth checking out the Conspiracy Theory Handbook.
Ah, so very important. Because there is, it's great to be skeptical and
absolutely
using critical thinking and all that, but then it can go to an extreme. So it's all about finding that balance and also finding sources of information and finding several different sources that all corroborate some kind of idea or information. So
yeah, and it talks about critical thinking. It is very for critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They are like, you should have critical thinking, but here's the difference of critical thinking and conspiracy thinking, you know, and
right,
that kind of thing. So yeah.
How long is this PDF?
PDF is pretty short. It's only like maybe 8 pages,
I think,
or so. It's pretty
short. I might have time for that.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody should be able to chomp this down.
Yeah.
12 pages.
Okay,
but
yeah.
The first is the cover, which is just illustration. So the first two pages aren't even that much. So
that's great. And it's great. It's
just
free.
A big quote. Yeah, and it's free. It'll be on our website, a link right to it.
Cool.
Very, very valuable.
Excellent.
And I like that it talks about the mindset, though, of people that do have these concerns and then develop these beliefs of, and they believe conspiracy theories. You know, it made me kind of be more tolerant and kind of know where they're coming from, I thought,
right,
which was very valuable too. It's not just I'm going to read this so I can tell you, you know, I told you so, and battle people that believe this. It's seeing where they're coming from. How do these happen? How do they develop?
Yes.
Very interesting and helpful.
That's a really good point, and it helps people from judging other people as soon as they hear that they believe some kind of conspiracy theory. A lot of times they can be judged immediately,
right,
without understanding.
And partially,
where it's coming from.
Too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. All right. I have another resource, an online resource that I want to talk about for my next cool sheet. And this is free coding classes. So coding as in computer coding. And now this is something that is targeted towards kids. But I got to say, if you're an adult and you want to learn coding, then by all means, I think. And this is something that's essentially Amazon is using as an outreach mechanism. So the website is AmazonFutureEngineer.com. And they have got a bunch of free courses here. So they're currently free through fall 2020. And then they're going to reassess COVID-19 and all that and see if they will continue offering them for free. I think that'd be great if they did as a public service, but we'll see. So one of the courses they have is virtual robotics. And this is targeted at grades 2 through 12, which is so great. I've had my nephew has been into robotics and lots of other kids I know, and they have such a great time writing code and then making something mechanical do it. Like, that is so fascinating to them, and just it blows their minds, and they learn so much doing it. There's also just general computer science courses, so learning some programming languages, which you can use for so many things. But maybe you're someone who's like, the programming stuff, that sounds kind of nerdy. I'm more into music. Well, there's another class that is called Celebrity Song Remix. Here, you're actually learning how to remix songs. So you're getting a little bit more creative, and you're also bringing in the coding into it as well. So that's pretty great. I poked around a little bit more through this, and I found some other links to other free courses that aren't on the Amazon Future Engineer site. There are other ones. So if you go there, you'll find lots of stuff that allows you to have some free coding lessons.
Oh, that's cool. And I love that they're offering these up. That's one, there is a silver lining with the pandemic, is we've had a lot of free time to maybe do some other things, but a lot of free stuff has been available
for
people,
sure.
Which is very, you know, that's very cool that people are being generous and expanding their skill set on these free methods like this. And coding, who knows if we're going to have our job, mm-hmm. you know, in the future, the way things are going. But coding is one of those that seems to be pretty future-proof, that there's always going to be coding opportunities as more things go to AI and
exactly.
online and things like that. So a definite good skill to learn. And I don't know any coding. I know HTML like way back in the
right.
day when it first started, and I probably forgot all of it. So that's very cool. It's one of those things that I've always thought, should I dabble in coding too? But
yeah.
Good
yeah,
resource.
And it's also just fun, like seeing how it works and then how it makes something happen,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that is so cool. It's very satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps the learning process, of course.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Uh-huh.
All right, my next cool sheet is a YouTube channel, and this YouTube channel, it's a person, his name is Wes Tank. So Wes Tank is an actor, I believe, as well, but he did this, again, kind of in the pandemic era. He did these 8 videos where he rapped Dr. Seuss over beats. And a lot of them were either Dr. Dre beats or various beats that he would do. And he would kind of do this rap style. And I just love how his vibe, his look. Again, there's only 8, I think, videos. And he's kind of stopped 5 days ago, time of recording. He just did a little blooper reel. But he hasn't done anything for a while, for over a month or so. And I hope that he keeps doing some things once in a while. But even if, again, if you just watch these 8 videos, I think you'll love them. And here's a little sample of one of his songs. The first one that I heard that I really love.
Hi, I'm Wes, and today I will be rapping Fox and Socks by Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
Take it slowly. This book is dangerous. Fox socks, box knocks, knocks in box and fox in socks, knocks on fox and socks in box, socks on knocks and knocks in box, fox and socks on box on knocks. Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come, chicks with bricks and blocks and clocks come. Look, sir, look, sir, Mr. Knox, sir. Let's do tricks with bricks and blocks, sir. Let's do tricks with chicks and clocks, sir. First I'll make a quick trick brick stack. Then I'll make a quick trick block stack. You can make a quick trick chick stack. You can make a quick trick clock stack. And here's a new trick, Mr. Knox. It's called socks on chicks and chicks on fox.
I just love his style and how he rapped this Dr. Seuss. And I think that that Dr. Seuss, maybe this is how it was supposed to be read to people. I really like the style. I love everything about it. And definitely check out these videos and check out Wes Tank.
Yeah, if only Dr. Seuss could hear how his words have been used. He'd probably get a kick out of it.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's so much in the spirit of Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
Just having fun and making it more approachable, maybe to different, you know, different people, different genre. You know, this kind of changes it up and makes it more accessible, possibly, or entertaining. Because like you've said before, I think you've talked about Dr. Seuss in a former cool sheet.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of deep meaning to the story. stories of Dr. Seuss.
Oh, yeah.
So there's so much going on, and it seems so, like, weird and mystical and frivolous and, you know, sing-songy, and that's what makes it all so great. But it's really deep, too.
Oh, there's so much social commentary.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it. Yeah.
I love this. It just gives another element to that flavor, and, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, I will definitely. And, you know, there's 8 of them, so
yeah,
I definitely have time for that. That's great. Yeah. Okay, my next cool sheet. This is a video, and this comes from the JHS show. Okay, so this is JHS, that stands for Josh Scott. He's the guy who is the owner and creator of JHS pedals that are made for guitars, and some people use them for basses. And so, all right, if you're not a musician, you might say, like, oh, that doesn't interest me. Well, he made this video that is all about the history of distortion. So distortion, that's that big, fat, crunchy sound that comes out of the guitar in so many rock and roll songs, blues songs, that has really been going for 70 years. And that's what he does. He starts back in 1950-ish, and he walks us through the decades in this roughly 20-minute video. Love this video. So he starts way back in, again, about 1950, and one of the first bands he mentions is Rocket 88. So Rocket 88 is considered to be one of these iconic songs, one of the first where distortion was revealed. So along with that song and along with the Kinks, there are all of these legends of how somebody either stabbed the speaker with a knitting needle. Someone said sliced it up with razor blade. There's all these different stories about what happened, but essentially that cutting up the paper speaker inside of the whole cabinet of the amplifier, that's what gave this first distortion sound. So then it goes from there, and there's a story about Marty Robbins. One of my favorites is a story of Keith Richards and the Rolling Stones and how his guitar, he played this guitar distorted to just sort of emulate the horn section that they didn't have. And it ended up on the final recording that he heard for the first time over the radio, and he actually didn't like it the first time. It goes on from there. Great stories, great history, the history of distortion.
Oh, this is so cool, because this is something that I love music, but I don't know much about distortion and how any of it works. So I think I would really like this.
I think so. And you don't even have to know how it works to really get into just all the stories.
Yeah.
And I just had the best time listening to this.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to check that out. All right. My next cool sheet is a kitchen gadget, and this is the Joule. So it is a sous vide machine. And I've been talking about sous vide for a while now, way back in episode 16, which these archived episodes will be available later in the future. So you can listen to them sometime in the future if you're just now listening to this as it came out. And one of my other favorite cool sheets was Chef Steps, which was a website and this cooking company, and they talked about how to prepare different things. Chef Steps made the Joule, so they loved sous vide cooking, but they didn't. It wasn't really sous vide for a long time. This is a practice. It's a French cooking method, but it's been around forever. But it was always done in big, giant vats and big restaurants, and it was super expensive. And then all of a sudden, these consumer products started coming out, and they were more affordable. And I bought one way back on like Kickstarter or something many, many years ago. And then I saw the Joule come out, and I always kind of wanted it, but I already had one. But then, so I finally justified it because I could have one at work and one at home. And boy, I'm glad I got it, because it is so beautiful. It is the Apple of sous vide machines. It's very sleek and minimal and sexy. It's also one of the most powerful ones, and it has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connections available. It comes with an app that has this visual doneness on it where it shows you. So if you like your steak medium well, it shows you this is not only how long to cook it in the sous vide machine, but what it will look like. And so you can learn what actually rare and medium well, what that looks like on a steak, because that's for beginning cooks especially. That's hard to even distinguish. Same thing with eggs, over easy, over medium, poached, soft boiled, hard boiled, all those really things. It's so good. Definitely check out the Joule.
You are killing me right now. I'm so hungry.
I know, me too.
That sounds amazing. I still have never tried using one. I don't even know if I've seen one.
I think I've showed you,
you
my jewel when
shown,
I first got
you must
it.
Have shown me yours when you first
and
got it.
And it doesn't look like anything.
No,
really.
No,
it looks like a cylinder.
Yeah.
Like a white cylinder.
Yeah.
That you
oh
plug in, but it is. And it's my, so the first one actually just recently broke. So now I only have one sous vide machine.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm glad I bought this other one.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it is very, you can tell it, this one's very well made.
Oh, well, and my, wonderful. I think my favorite thing about it was after you talked about it, maybe just learning about the science of how it works and all the temperature and holding it there. Cause I never could wrap my head around like, why isn't it going bad? And just everything with the temperature, it's all about the temperature.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah,
really cool.
It's really cool. And the name Juul is interesting because, and that's not the the e-cigarettes. It's
right,
not that
right,
Juul.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about here. That's not a cool sheet.
Yeah. No, it is a unit of
machine.
Measurement
yeah.
of energy.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and they definitely use that intention and spelling.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was probably just one of those coincidences where they were like, oh, man, why, yeah. why'd you have to call that e-cigarette thing a Juul?
Right.
That's great. Well, I can't wait to see it again, this uber sexy one. That's awesome. Okay, my last cool sheet. This is an article, and I absolutely adore this article. This is called Five People Who Can Help You Love Your Body. This came out in 2019 in the New York Times, and it has to do with, you can pretty much tell by the title, it addresses how all of us, and it always fascinates me how it is really, truly all of us. We take some kind of issue with our body. And this, I'm sure, even happens with people who many of us would think, oh, they have the perfect quote unquote body. And there's still issues. So we all have them. And wow, if you just read about these five people, they're all amazing. I'll give a couple examples. So one is Myrna Valerio, and she is an ultra marathoner. And usually when I hear that word, a vision comes to mind of what they look like. And she doesn't look like that. And she is just all about, she says, no matter what size your body is, it's meant to move. And you shouldn't feel as if you can't do an activity or a sport just because of how you look. And she just does whatever she wants, and she just kicks butt. So she's the blogger behind Fat Girl Running, and she also is the author of A Beautiful Work in Progress. She has 83,000 followers on Instagram. People love her. She's so inspiring. Another one is Zach Miko, and he's from New York City, and he was the first plus model for Target. And he gets so many men who just admire him and contact him and just say, thank you. Like, I now see myself when I see clothes that are being modeled for Target. So super smart on Target's end. And just also great to have models that look like normal people. It's so great. The other three are just as amazing as them, if not more so. So I highly recommend reading the full article, Five People Who Can Help You Love Your Body.
Oh, wow. That sounds really cool. Something for everyone there, too.
And, truly.
And yeah, certainly people, you know, that's where bodybuilders are never big enough. Models are never thin enough. Of course,
it's
anorexia and like serious diseases and problems happen is because, you know, it can happen to anybody, too. So, yeah, it's very, very cool to see that there's more real people doing these really cool things like this. And loving your body, it's so important.
Definitely.
And it's, you know, it's not that you don't want to be healthy, but there's also, it's damaging to not love yourself like that. So.
Exactly. Another one of the people they highlighted, Mama Cax. It's not all about weight necessarily, where she had bone cancer. And so she had to have her leg removed. I think she was 17 years old. Mm. And so she had a huge struggle with that. And she is now a model.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah. And it's the photos of her are amazing. She actually has these prosthetic legs that have designs on them.
Oh, cool.
And she just, she embraces it. And she's also on social media. And I'm sure so many disabled people and able-bodied people, they just so inspiring for everyone.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. My last cool sheet is a TV show, and it is called The Last Dance. This show is also, it is completed. So it is a 10-part series done, actually produced by ESPN. And they're kind of getting more into the movie and miniseries genre right now. And this one's all about the Chicago Bulls. And this is, it was super popular when it came out, but it stands up. It's worth seeing. It's 9.3 on IMDb, 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, and 91 on Metacritic. So anywhere you go, it's pretty established that this is a very well-done sports series. Again, it's 10 episodes. It's about the Bulls, when the Bulls won their first three championships, and then Michael Jordan retired, and then when he came back, and they were going for their second three-peat. So they won six, I think, within 10 years or something crazy. It's never been done again, or will probably ever be done again in the future. I mean, never say never, but it was really amazing. And, you know, this is when I grew up in high school, and I was really into basketball, and I loved the Trailblazers, and I kind of hated the Chicago Bulls because they were so good. I did always have respect for Jordan because I knew I was watching something absolutely magical every time. So every time he was on, I would try to watch it, and except for it was really hard when they were playing the Blazers, and they played him in the finals, you know, and then they beat him up pretty bad. So that's always hard. You see that in the show. So that was hard to stomach again. But it goes, every episode builds. The only thing I didn't like is the timeline is it jumps around a lot. But once you get past that, the story is good. It talks about, you know, Jordan, the early days and college and high school and college, and then Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman, Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr even has an episode that's mostly about him. It's so good. Definitely worth checking out The Last Dance.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I have a hard time caring about sports. So what do you think? Would I enjoy it?
Well, you know, I was going to say, I think that even if you're not a basketball fanatic, it might be interesting. I don't know.
I mean,
though,
if it's a good story.
It's a good story. I mean, it revolves all around basketball and mostly Michael Jordan. It's mostly mm-hmm. about him. But I think if you like, you know, psychology, and if you mm-hmm. just have an interest in maybe athletic mindset, because they certainly are, you know, and especially Michael Jordan, he was intense, even for NBA players.
Right.
You know, they're the best of the best. He was too much sometimes for people to handle, mm-hmm. even on his own teammates. And he just wanted to make them better, but he was very hardcore. And I thought that was interesting. And it might even give you an insight of why people like sports so much, or him so much. You know, I don't know, maybe check out an episode or two and see if you could get into it at all. Maybe you don't make it through the full thing, but I think anybody that likes sports would like it for sure. Mm-hmm. And if you like basketball, you would love it.
Yeah. So great. All right, everyone. That wraps up this episode. Thanks for joining us, and stay curious. Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestis, that's 10bestis.com, for links to all of our cool sheets.
And sign up for our monthly newsletter with bonus cool sheets and other fun stuff.
10 Bestis will be back with an all-new episode next Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.